This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard on VSiN.
We welcome you back in. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM, kicking off conference championship week in the NFL. I'm Ben Wilson, back alongside the former NFL wide receiver, Mike Pritchard. I hear from downtown Las Vegas and our Circa Sportsbook studios. Our breaking news, we teased it coming into our last break, but I have to think, Mike, if you're preparing for a playoff game, regardless of round, the last thing you want are distractions off the field. And San Francisco is going to have this is a sizable distraction. Coming into an NFC championship game in Philadelphia, Charles Omenihu was part of a domestic incident, arrested yesterday. And this just comes out this morning that he was booked overnight at the Santa Clara County Jail, posted bail, released, and then served with a restraining order. Apparently, a report that he pushed his girlfriend to the ground. There were no visible injuries, and the woman did decline medical attention, but did need to call the police. So now you have Omenihu arrested. The official team statement is that we're aware of the matter and are in the process of gathering further information. A guy who's been a key defensive lineman. I mean, what are you doing, man? Regardless, obviously horrible to ever do something like that, but the timing here, not ideal for a San Francisco team. Now going to have to deal with a pretty big distraction.
Legal issues certainly, that goes to the forefront here. So we'll see it about the developments, the distractions as you're about to prepare for practice too. Eli Apple is another one bringing attention to himself, just go play football and go on and move on, right? But had to have some comments about Buffalo. So there's some other distractions, because when you think about that, it's like the media is going to ask you questions like, what's going on? And so they're not going to ask you questions about the game. They're going to ask you questions about things off the field. And so your focus is not where it should be. Mm-hmm. And so, it's unfortunate for Omenihu that right there getting arrested for domestic incident.
Yes, suspicion of misdemeanor domestic violence that happened late yesterday there in Santa Clara. And it's something we were talking about off air. It's like even a little bit of news or even, like the hint of any sort of developments or news, whether that's injury reports, whether that's off the field, that turns into huge news when it's a week like this, where there's only two games to talk about. Mm-hmm. Same deal goes when it's Super Bowl week and you have the 2-week buildup. I mean, any sort of thing is going to get blown up, and especially when it's something as serious as getting arrested for suspicion of a misdemeanor domestic violence. It's just it's a horrible look,
right,
regardless of the time that it happens, but especially now. And you just wonder, how does San Francisco, how do they deal with that in practice this week and with all the questions likely to come towards Kyle Shanahan and his presser today?
Well, the thing about San Francisco and even Cincinnati, I mean, they're both veteran-laden teams. San Francisco was in the NFC Conference Championship game last year. Same thing with Cincinnati, right? And so I think collectively they'll probably move on but the attention, like, for instance, a normal week during a regular season, you got your local beat writers and your local media, maybe a national writer or a national person every once in a while. But now you have national and international at your practices and stuff. So, that's when the media attention grows, right? And your time on the field is limited. Like, they're not going to go through these major workouts on the field. They're going to rep things out. They're going to get a good lather going and make sure they're okay and practice looks okay. But then all of a sudden it goes to the media attention and the media time. So obviously, these are going to be subjects that are going to be talked about.
Right. Like, from when you played and were in the postseason, just how different was that week of preparation compared to, say, a week seven during the regular season?
Right. Well, I mean, the football has changed.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe not as much.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being in pads, still back in the 90s.
Still in pads in the playoffs? Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't like a very physical practice. The offensive linemen, they had some physical things, but now they can do that in shells and stuff, the way that teams are practicing. And the CBA talks about how many times you can be in pads too. So it's so different, Ben. But, if you can practice without pads, without hitting on each other, then obviously it's worked. I mean, look at San Francisco and how they're playing. I mean, look at all these teams, really. I mean, all these teams are at the top of their game right now. So however they're going about it, those workouts, as long as you get the work done, as long as you rep out everything and it looks okay, you're not making mistakes out there, you're not worried about anything. Certainly the game plans are important, But that preparation and making sure that you're doing the right thing is equally or more important.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. And early in the week, some small injury report items for San Francisco. Nothing yet reported for Philadelphia. If we just go off what we've seen the last couple weeks, Lane Johnson as a right tackle. He could not finish the game against the New York Giants. Was hurt on the first series, re-aggravating an injury that had caused him to miss about a month of the season to close for Philadelphia. And A.J. Brown was a little bit gimpy late in that game as a wide receiver. You don't expect those guys to miss action or miss the game. Right, Mike, no. Might not even show up on the re-injury report. Any concern for you on those two?
No, I mean, if you're a running back, you are injured right now. Think about it, right? You have something going on with you. So it's the difference between pain or injury, that kind of thing. You know, you're going to deal with it. You're going to rehab it. You're going to get treatment on it and all that stuff, but you're going to be good to go. You're going to give it your best shot too. And you think about the depth, you know, from a roster standpoint. If Christian is banged up, then, you know, you still got Mitchell, you still got Debo, you still got a number of options from a running back position. You know, Lane, I think he came back in, but he's going to play in pain, though, right, with that injury. So that's that right tackle. He's the best, I think, right tackle. You wonder from a matchup standpoint what they're going to do with Bosa. And others to try to create pressure on Jalen. I think the speed of those linebackers, though, is something that Jalen is going to have to contend with as a runner. So maybe San Francisco will be okay. But, yeah, the bumps and bruises, all these guys are banged up a little bit.
Yeah, that's the one guy that would concern me is Johnson, where he's going to grind it out, give it a go. But that's an anchor of your offensive line. Look, it could be worse. Could be your left tackle having to line up against a guy named Bosa. But at least for a Philadelphia offense, it relies so much on its offensive line to create separation. I mean, Philadelphia had 150 rush yards before contact last week against the New York Giants. 150 before contact. I would be a little bit shocked, Mike, if that same number happened this week against a second-ranked San Francisco rush defense, considering the Giants ranked 30th. And if you especially have a banged-up right tackle in Lane Johnson, it's not going to be that easy, right?
No, I mean, I'm thinking back to, you know, with the Eagles and whatever it's read option or inside zone, even wide zone, and then using Jalen as a double option sometimes, even they get to triple option with him throwing a ball on a run. But the speed of the linebackers, a lot of times, can Lane Johnson get up on a linebacker? Can a guard get up? I mean, Kelce, obviously, at center can get up and pull and get out in front of Jalen. But the speed of Greenlaw and Warner, I mean, again, Warner is a supernatural. I know that for a fact. But that's going to be hard. I mean, those guys are so elusive, too, in terms of getting around blocks. So, and then you got Hufanga coming down and trying to make something happen, too. So, yeah, I mean, misdirection stuff, I think we can see some of that to take advantage of the over-pursuit nature or the speed of that defense for San Francisco. More importantly for San Francisco, to make sure they're in the right spot, though. And that's what they're repping during this week of practice.
Well, this is a shocker that this will be our matchup, one of our main matchups to watch. We'll do that in our next segment as we continue on the deep dive breakdowns of both the conference championship games. As far as the San Francisco injury report, you mentioned it's Christian McCaffrey, running back, Elijah Mitchell, two running backs, both listed as day-to-day. Kyle Shanahan yesterday in an early week press conference saying both are going to be expected to play Sunday in the matchup. McCaffrey's been dealing with a calf contusion now for weeks, and in the meantime, Mitchell, it's the groin injury. What is interesting, though, is the Jimmy Garoppolo piece of this. Not that we expect him to be a part of things for San Francisco, but here's the report. Beginning x-rays today, not expected to practice. Shanahan saying, I'd be very surprised if he was out there this week. Not ruling him out, though, to be available for the Super Bowl, and that could open up a whole other can of worms if San Francisco were to advance this week.
Would it open up a can, you think?
Look, only because we have 2 weeks to talk about every possible angle imaginable. It will.
Okay.
That can of worms is almost required to be open, even though it shouldn't be. I'm with you. It should be Purdy from here on out.
Right.
And nobody else than Brock Purdy taking snaps under center. But because of the nature of the NFL media machine.
Right.
That would be a discussion.
It should be that jar that you got to have some help to
stuck.
Open. Yeah. That's not a can. You can just easily open a can with a can opener, right? But but that's crazy. You're right.
I mean, producer Brown or Tega, once you open the can, it can't be closed.
Right. Or Tega off the top rope. Yeah, that Ryan was funny.
Ortega,
that
always,
was funny.
He's always got a zinger.
That was a good one.
No, you and I are as logical human beings. Both realize that when you have a run like a quarterback has in Brock Purdy, and the way he fits into a system with Kyle Shanahan as his play caller and head coach, there's no reason to even go down that path for San Francisco. But like, as long as reporters, they'll keep asking Shanahan about it, and he's, at least give him credit. He's sort of telling the truth for now. He's just saying, hey, look, he's getting x-rays. He might be available. And I guess for what it's worth, if you at least had him available as a backup, that's not the worst thing in the world for San Francisco that's already lost a couple quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, and a backup to Brock Purdy is the name you know. Josh Johnson, the name you know. Doesn't that sound like a political ad? Josh Johnson, the name you know, because he's been in the league for so long, and everybody knows this guy.
Forever.
Right? Forever. The name you know is a backup quarterback.
I'm just saying, if you're at an NFC Championship game and all of a sudden you see Josh Johnson trotting out there, like with me, where I'm likely going to have multiple teasers tied to San Francisco, likely to bet San Francisco if they get the three, I would be like, oh no, uh-oh. Here comes Josh Johnson into the game.
Right.
Nothing against Josh Johnson, who is, he is at a elite cash those checks type career.
He has.
He's played for like half the teams in the league.
A career backup.
Not
absolutely.
A guy you want to rely on, though, in an NFC championship.
Well, I mean, Brock Purdy, you're going to rely on that. But again, this is a true road game. I mean, he's had, one really road game in an environment on a short week against Seattle.
Seattle was the first, the first game for Purdy. Niners were laying three.
And Vegas, I think there was more 49er fans here in Vegas than Raider fans.
That is fair.
Yeah,
and Purdy also was very good in that game.
Right.
Putting up big numbers as the Niners won that one as well. When we return, time to get into our biggest matchups to watch as we continue our deep dive. 49ers, Eagles, where are the edges? We'll look to uncover some on the other side.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not only today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Talk about a handy tool this week, Mike Pritchard. I mean, with the lines, just like our odd screens we have in front of us have just been like, it's been like Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. Reds and blues and action all over the place. So keep an eye on those betting splits pages, because even from when you and I talked last on Sunday night, line has moved an additional 3 points off of that. It's been all amazing. All Cincinnati money. And for as much as there have been rumors that there's going to be some sort of news dump on Patrick Mahomes' ankle, it is always kind of predictable, right? That there, it wouldn't be much positive, at least this early in the week. So line now up to Bengals -2.5. 49ers Eagles line has stayed pretty similar, but that's still 2.5 market wide on Philadelphia. But keep an eye on those betting splits.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing about betting splits too, like fading the public in conference championship games. I mean, I wonder, like, would you do that? Because the public's going to be probably with what the trends are suggesting. Right? I mean,
I would think, look, my general thought on how the public is going to bet the conference championships is, and it's happened so far in the playoffs. You remember what you saw last.
Yeah.
And that's to me why a lot of people, and it, look, a lot of respected money early in the week, respected money shapes the market.
Mm-hmm.
Respected money is on the Eagles to start. I just disagree with the power rating that a lot of respected money has Philadelphia as more of a 2.5 or 3 point favorite. I'd make San Francisco a pick 'em 2 point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
In the game in Philadelphia, yet what did people see last? Oh, Brock Purdy struggled for San Francisco. Philadelphia looked like world beaters against a terrible team, at least by playoff standards.
Mm-hmm.
And now now all of a sudden their power rating has been jacked way up. So to me, that's what happens a lot. And let's remember,
right?
Cincinnati needed a miracle 98-yard fumble return touchdown against essentially a group of backups for Baltimore and a backup quarterback in Tyler Huntley to win that game. And now they are basically being crowned the de facto AFC East champion. So my advice is always just don't get out in front of your skates and too aggressive on the overreactions from 1 week to the next. We did it with Dallas last week. Did it with the Giants as well. I mean, it happens every week in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I look at that more than the betting splits. Because to me, at this point in the year, like, we have our convictions on teams. I've been a pro 49ers guy for the back half of the year. to me, they're the better team than Philadelphia. I will bet them. I don't care what the betting splits say.
Right.
Does not matter to me whatsoever.
But the tool is there if you need it.
That's the whole point. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent. That's the whole point. The betting splits are there if you need it. Okay, as far as our matchups to watch for San Francisco and Philadelphia, we both kind of gravitated toward a similar route here, Mike Pritchard. I'll let you start since I went first on the AFC matchup. What's your key matchup you're looking at this week?
Well, the key one for me is, you know, what really is the impact for the Eagles, and that's Jalen Hurts and his return to the lineup and what he presents for the Eagles in that rushing attack. I mean, when you get to six eligibles, that just breaks down a defense in any regard, right? And so the matchup for me to watch is that 49er linebacker crew with Warner and Greenlaw and the speed that they have against Jalen Hurts, you know, and the running backs too, for that matter. Because I saw something last week against Dallas that was very, very interesting, and it was something that showed up on tape, and that's why the 49ers, they were doing it. And they were taking away the intermediate routes for the Dallas Cowboys. Because the Cowboys, especially when Pollard went out, they don't do angle routes. They don't do anything underneath with the running backs. They don't even get the scat protection a lot of times. They normally swing their running backs out after checking for pass protection. But putting running backs out on routes did not occupy linebackers. And so the linebackers for 49ers just got depth. And they didn't even occupy their vision. And the backfield, they turn their attention to any in-cutting routes too. So that was difficult for Dak, where I think the Eagles can get to some of that option stuff with their running backs and certainly you know, running specific routes to occupy linebackers to help out Dallas Goedert too. So the Eagles, they have a way in their offense to put pressure on the linebackers. But the linebackers in that speed, if the Eagles don't do anything like that, then I think the 49ers will have a distinct advantage. Mm-hmm. Certainly recognizing with their eyes the option game, getting to the perimeter, and blowing up any blocking situation and making things difficult for any runner on the perimeter for the Eagles.
And other element of that is Philadelphia was tremendous at getting Jalen Hurts space on designed runs.
Right.
Led the league first in success rate on quarterback designed runs this year.
Mm-hmm.
With what you said about the San Francisco linebackers and their versatility, how does that play out if you're looking at those specific plays where Hurts is going to try to take the ball around the edge and get some space for himself?
Well, I think the Eagles, and to be honest with you, I think this is going to be their game plan offensively. They're going to occupy those linebackers with Dallas Goedert, and certainly they're going to do some sail routes with him. But with Jalen and then certainly with their running backs, because now you can isolate the outside guys with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. And that's a mismatch. That's a favorable mismatch for the Eagles. So if they can create that, which I think Shane Steichen has the ability to do, and I think they'll get to that as well, then that's going to be difficult for San Francisco. So that means they're going to have to use their safeties deeper, and okay, maybe the running game opens up. A lot of pressure can be applied to those two linebackers for San Francisco, though. By the Eagles offense.
But if there's a linebacker who can handle that pressure, and it's a big reason why I like San Francisco this week, it's Fred Warner.
It is, right. I mean,
and it's, you know, you think about what the versatility he provides. Mm-hmm. It's a guy you have been, you would have hated having to play against Fred Warner, even as an outside wide receiver, I feel like.
I played against a guy like that. I mean, you know, you think about the late great Junior Seau and what he could do. I mean, it's the same kind of thing, right? You know, it's just a slider build body, though, you know, or linebackers that can run 4-3 like we see with Devin White and Michael Parsons now. I mean, but no, we had linebackers, active linebackers in the day. Wilbur Marshall was another one that you think about with power and speed, can cover running backs, tight ends, sometimes wide receivers. I mean, each and every decade or era, there's a supernatural. I keep going to that. And certainly Warner is that. But I think the Eagles have enough to occupy him. But you're right. There's a difference between occupying a guy like that and then also not allowing him to make an impact. I still think Warner can make an impact in this game, though.
You say supernatural. As a former player watching Warner on the field, I can throw a super nerdy stat at you.
Okay.
And say since Fred Warner came into the NFL in 2018, he leads the league in fewest receptions over expected when defending opposing wide receivers.
Okay.
The entire league, right. Fred Warner is not a cover corner, but a linebacker.
Yeah.
He leads the league since 2018. Fewest receptions over expected.
Incredible player.
So you can sync super nerdy advanced analytics into the on-the-field tape that you watch, Mike, to me, that's a it's a match made in heaven. It's a big reason why I like San Francisco this week. When you have the most dynamic defensive player on the field for either side,
yeah,
gives San Francisco a huge edge.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, you think about whether the Eagles can get to a power running game too, right? And I was looking through the schedule to like, okay, looking at and watching some power running games. And the one that stood out is the Atlanta Falcons and a power running game that kind of did end San Francisco.
Had a lot of success.
Yeah, they had a lot of success in that game. So you wonder if the Eagles are watching that tape and trying to get to some similar things with a power running game, a power rushing attack, because I'm trying to find the numbers, but I know the Falcons put up 28 points in that football game against that defense.
That one outright is about a six-point underdog in the game. One of the part of that midseason swoon for San Francisco. Have not lost since the first of the two-game losing streak. Week six at the Falcons, week seven at home against Kansas City. In a very similar vein, my matchup to watch, it's the rush defense for San Francisco, one that is a massive step up in class for Philadelphia to face. If you compare San Francisco's rush defense to the Giants last week, second in rush yards per play, second in rush yards per game, and go up against this Philadelphia offensive line that is banged up at right tackle with Lane Johnson, that has produced a ton of rush yards before contact, but most of those games, they've done it three times this year, twice against the Giants. So to me, those numbers are a little bit inflated because of the poor opposition they were facing. And I'd have serious concerns about backing Philadelphia because of their inability to get a big push with how dominant the rush defense is for San Francisco and with a rush offense that is so it's so keyed around that ability to get separation. It's not a position where I want to back Philadelphia. And it's why, another reason, I realize I'm just piling on reasons for liking San Francisco, but it's yet another one and a matchup to me that will matter the most of anything.
I think you're right. Absolutely. That rush defense, it will be interesting, you know, especially if you do, you know, slow down the rushing attack for the Eagles. And the only thing about the rush defense too is they have to get there before the secondary breaks down for the 49ers. Cause I think Ward is not, I think he's not a great player.
you can beat San Francisco deep if you have time. And,
right.
Well, that's part of it. The 49ers had a 56% pressure rate in the first half on Dak Prescott,
right,
which was the half where Dallas had the most success even moving the ball, but still forced two interceptions out of Prescott, and it was able to cover up a lot of those warts and issues at the back end.
And the reason why they get an A.J. Brown, too, is because he can create that matchup, you know, and that rush defense has to get home.
I just don't see a lot of situations where Hurts is sitting back there 4 seconds in the pocket, can let Brown, you know, work a route deep. I just don't see it. We'll get to Josh Applebaum's take. He's our host of VSiN Morning Daily Bets. How is Josh viewing the market early in conference championship week?
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. As we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line, please do welcome in Josh Applebaum, host of our VSiN Morning Daily Bets podcast. It's in your feed every morning by 6:30 a.m. on the East Coast, which is awesome because, you know, for Pritch and I, Josh being here in Vegas, like we wake up and it's been out for, you know, like 3 hours already. So that's very nice for us. You ready for some trivia time, Josh? We'll see if I can stump either one of you. Josh.
Ooh, let's go.
Third time ever with the conference championship games featuring both games with a line of under 3 points. Only the third time ever.
Okay.
Can you name me the last year that happened in the conference championship games?
I already quit. I got no idea. Pritch, it's on you for this.
Josh gave it like 2 seconds. All right, here's the hint. Mike Pritchard was an active NFL player.
Oh, okay.
So there's like an eight-year gap to choose.
I know. How about that? Repeat the question.
Okay, the last time that both conference championship games had a point spread of under 3 points. Secondary hint, it involved one of Mike Pritchard's former NFL teams.
Oh.
Ooh, okay. Pritch, then you got to get this one right now.
I know, right?
Okay, third tertiary hint, it also involves my home state team, for people who know where I'm from, the Green Bay Packers.
Packers, okay.
I like how Josh is just that. Josh is just like, okay, yeah, more hits. I don't have any more hits for you, Josh. It was 1997.
I'll take the L.
97 when the Denver Broncos were 2.5-point favorites at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Green Bay Packers, 2.5-point favorites at San Francisco.
Okay.
Both the road favorites won that year. Mm-hmm. There you go, Mike.
Thank you.
I know you're enlightened by that.
I am. That trivia got me.
At least, you know, Josh was just like, all right, give me more hints. I have no idea.
He came up as soon as he asked a question.
Yes. Okay, Josh, there is, wow. I was prepared to ask you one question, and I'm going to ask you a different one, because on my odds screen, we are seeing more lighting of numbers. One book here in Nevada has just gone to Bengals -3 against Kansas City. Basically, every shop right now, rest of the market, is at Bengals -2.5. How much higher should we expect the number to go? And at 3, would there be some buyback there on the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, this one is fascinating, guys, from a couple different perspectives. Number one, the line movement. Number two, the betting percentages. Because if you look at the way this line has evolved, it's been all Cincinnati Bengals money coming in basically from the start here. A lot of books, you know, I saw one opener that was as high as Chiefs -3 at home. Probably that wasn't much of a true opener, a little bit lower, around, you know, 1 or 2. But basically, we immediately got down to close to a pick 'em. We hopped the fence. Last night, I was doing primetime bets with Tim and Sean, and it was -1.5 Bengals. Now we're up to -2.5, and we're even going to 3. So this thing, just from a standpoint of, hey, where is the respective money going? It's all in Cincinnati's favor here. They are getting, though, this is what makes it difficult, 77% of bets, 86% of the money. So as a contrarian bettor, you know, I love seeing line movement, because that's an indication to me that respective money has come in. If you talk to any of the odds makers, they'll tell you they don't move numbers based on the public. They move it based on respected bettors getting down and causing them to adjust the line. So the fact that you are getting such heavy lopsided support for Cincy is obviously a play that I look to go the other way and go contrarian. But then on the other hand, all the respected money moving the number is going toward the Bengals here. So I think if you kind of break it down a few ways, number one, let's just look at conference championship games here in terms of the favorite winning the game straight up. This has been an edge over the last about 20 years or so. So if you look at conference championship favorites last two decades, they are 26-12 straight up, 68%. So that would match here with the Bengals. Now you're getting them -125 on the money line. So again, that's kind of one way I'd look at it. I think pretty soon you're probably going to maybe get to 3. At that point, though, do you get any resistance here on Patrick Mahomes? Like, I think, you know, you guys might have mentioned this, but we're kind of in a wait and see mode with Patrick Mahomes with his high ankle sprain. Do you get any reports out of the practice field that, hey, he's moving around, he's looking pretty good? If you get any positive reports here on Mahomes, maybe you start to see some buyback. I think if you look at it from the standpoint of it's all Bengals money, but if you're laying a 2.5, you're going money line now, you're kind of getting the worst of it. So I'm wondering, you know, when is this point of resistance? Do you get to 3 and people just say, hey, you know, Mahomes getting 3 at home, only getting 20% of bets? How do you not play that? Mahomes, by the way, is 7-1-1 against the spread as an underdog. He's never been an underdog in the postseason. But then again, why it makes it difficult is obviously what we've seen Burrow do straight ahead, straight up against Kansas City, 3-0. He's 16-9 against the spread as a favorite, 64%. So I think it's kind of a wait and see. I think if you are going to bet if you're going to bet the Chiefs here, I would just wait it out. Let the public continue to love the Bengals here. Move that number as high as it can go. Maybe you can even look at a teaser play, 2.5 up to 8.5. Getting Mahomes there. I don't think that's a bad idea. But again, this line movement to the Bengals is significant. There's been zero let up whatsoever. This is one of those bets where if you bet it early, you're feeling great about the Bengals. Also, guys, keep an eye on the total. We have seen this thing fall. I think, obviously, for good reason, we're focusing on the spread because it's just such a drastic move here and a massive playoff game. But we have seen some money hit this under. I think it might be correlated in the fact that if Mahomes is banged up, if he's not going to be as mobile, if he can't create as much offense, maybe you're a little bit slower in kind of your drives and you're chewing up a lot of time on the clock, that could lead to a lower scoring game. We saw this total open as high as 50. It's down to, it was 47 yesterday. Now it's 46.5. Only 30% of bets, but almost half the money is on the under. It's going to be about 20 degrees, a little bit of wind. And both these teams have been under teams this year. In particular, the Bengals are 6-3-1 to the under on the road. Kansas City 7-2 to the under at home. So again, it's fascinating that this line continues to go to the Bengals with no let up, but I'm sitting back saying, hey, at what point is there going to be some respected sharps out there saying Mahomes getting 3 at home, super contrarian? I'm wondering if we're going to get the bite at the apple, and I think we're going to find out over the next couple days.
You know, Josh, Ben and I were talking about power rankings, and I mean, I don't know how, if you power rank or not, but I know I saw you on Twitter with home favorites 23-9, 72% straight up in conference championship games. The reason why I say that is because the Chiefs started out as a home favorite with the opening number there. But, you know, from a seeding standpoint, the number one seed has won 53.2% of the Super Bowls. The number three seed, 4.3%. Cincinnati is a three seed. But from a power ranking standpoint, I wonder if the market's interpreting them more like they are actually the one seed in this game.
Yeah, so it's funny you bring that up, Pritch, because I think, you know, throughout the season, and you even look at that Buffalo Bills game, the market's kind of undervalued the Bengals, it seems like. Like, you know, they were getting 5.5, 6 points at Buffalo, and that was actually a pretty sharp play to the Bills. Everyone was on Bengals, and I think that's another reason why the public's just going to continue to ride Joe Burrow. He keeps cashing tickets. But that line moved to Buffalo, so maybe it's just a spot where, you know, the power rankings say maybe, you know, the Chiefs are the better team, but then also, Pritch, the high ankle sprain. Maybe you can speak to this. I don't know if you've ever had a high ankle sprain. You know, I watched Mac Jones, you know, cry and go nuts and miss a full month here with a high ankle sprain. How much is that going to limit Mahomes? Is that a factor, obviously, in this line move? And then the Bengals, you know, playing kind of that no one believes in us and, you know, the championship game should be in our building and it's not. There's kind of that X factor there. So, again, I don't power rank. I look at the market a little differently. Right. I look at kind of what, you know, the where the line's moving, the percentages, my betting systems. But you bring up a really good point. The one seeds tend to do very well. But I don't know if the Bengals are your typical three seed here. They've really been looking like a team of destiny this year.
While you were talking, Josh, I went to go. I was like, all right, I'm going to go fire on that teaser, get Kansas City up to 9. It only lasted 4 minutes already. Caesars was the one book rest of country that went to Bengals -3. That's now back down to 2.5. Yeah. So by the time Josh started talking, I went on my app. It had gone back down. So we'll wait. We'll see if we get another three. But hey, 4 minutes is all it lasted the first time the Bengals just went to -3. Josh, let's get your thoughts on the other game. Here we have the 49ers and the Eagles. Early move in the week to Philadelphia. Things have settled, though, since pretty much a 2.5 market wide. How do you interpret the early movement in this one?
So similar to the Bengals getting a big move, same thing here. Not quite as drastic, but toward the Philadelphia Eagles here, guys. It opened as Eagles are on a -1.5-point home favorite. You're up to -2.5. You've seen, again, juiced up here on our board, like it's going to 2.5, but a lot of these books are already there. So similar sort of thing. Do we get to Eagles -3? Is there buyback here on the 49ers getting 3 points on the road? Again, another teaser opportunity if you want to go 2.5, 8.5 up to for the 49ers here. But here are a couple things. If you're looking at a dog and you can get a 3, that would be interesting a little bit. And just in terms of road dogs this year doing very well, they're 5-3 ATS this postseason. They're 35-23 ATS, 60% the last 5 postseasons. Shanahan is 29-19 against the spread, 60% as a dog. So that would be something I'd look toward again. But the one thing I keep going back to is these favorites. Again, it's tough for me, guys. I'm a dog better. I'm a contrarian better, but I can't deny the data. You get to these championship games, the favorites tend to win these games pretty much outright quite a bit. So you're around 70%. As Pritch mentioned, it's 23-9, 72% straight up with these home favorites. McCaffrey, his calf, you know, maybe that's not as big of an issue, obviously, as Mahomes, but you know, he might have some treatment. What if he's hobbled? Is there a live game opportunity here? The over under hasn't really moved much here with the total. It's still around 45.5, 46. But again, teaser of the century, guys. We had one last week. You know, do we have another one here where you take the Chiefs up and you take the 49ers up? But again, that one stat, those home favorites, they do very well. Favorites in general, that's something to be wary of if you want to play these dogs.
All right, Josh Applebaum, you give him a follow at Josh_insights. I'm sure you're also thrilled this morning, Josh. You actually have a real offensive coordinator now there in Foxborough.
Hallelujah, guys. Can you believe it? Who would have thought going into a year, round pegs in square holes that putting a defensive guy to call plays? Who would have thought that didn't work out? So Bill O'Brien, hallelujah. Thank God he's back. And real quick, guys, Ben, you're going to love this. Big 10 boy. Home favorites straight up. This is up right up your alley. A lot of games playing college hoops. They're 32-10, 76% straight up. I'm looking at Illinois on the money line tonight.
Look at Josh Applebaum. Yeah. Josh is in Boston. I knew if I gave you that question, Josh, off the top of Bill O'Brien, you'd probably be talking for like 9.5 minutes. So I had to I had to back end it. Josh is excited as a Patriot fan. Patriot fans rejoicing today. Bill O'Brien set to be hired as offensive coordinator. Good to see you as always, Josh. Look forward to your appearances here on the program the rest of the week. As we still have one more segment to get to, time to look at some props for Mike Pritchard and myself when we come back.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. As we welcome you back for the final time on the Lombardi Line, big thanks to our guests today, Will Hill and Josh Applebaum, for joining the show, as well as the whole crew behind the glass, Brian Ortega, our producer, Jeremy Wengel, our technical director, who is also looking good. He has Leipzig minus a goal against Schalke.
Okay. Mike,
I know you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I sure do.
4-0 Leipzig in the 54th minute.
Okay.
That is a very nice call, Jeremy Wengel. Sergio Sanchez on graphics, Mikhail Bala, our audio engineer as well, with Troy Kinch, Andre Pariso, Rob Moreno also helping out here behind the scenes at our Circa Sportsbook studios. Time for some props, Mike. Mm-hmm. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Don't have any player props out yet. Those usually populate the market late on Tuesdays into early on Wednesdays. But there are some interesting numbers as far as the playoff passing leaders that you can bet right now. And we try to figure out, all right, which one of these ones of these are worth a bet? Which ones of these are worth just, like, if you like a player, why don't you just bet the specific team? And as we start with playoff passing leader odds, Joe Burrow's a favorite, plus 110. 451 passing yards through his two games. Brock Purdy, your current leader for San Francisco, at 546. He's at plus 120.
Okay.
Then it is Patrick Mahomes at 9-1 with his 195 passing yards. I don't know anybody who could make a case for that given the severe right ankle sprain. And then Jalen Hurts, 12-1 with his 154 passing yards. To me, this is pretty obviously just a two-player market, Pritch.
Really? Is that obvious, you think?
Yeah, I mean, in what world is Hurts? Also, like, Hurts would have to make up 300 yards on Burrow in the next 2 weeks,
and a guy
who's a run first quarterback.
But Patrick Mahomes just relegated to a pocket passer, though. Like, he's not going to scramble. He's going to distribute the football from the pocket. Like,
right.
Philip Rivers played on a torn ACL. They lost the game. Kirk Gibson hit a home run on one leg.
Yes, he did.
Right. The NBA player, Elgin Baylor. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw Michael Jordan turn his ankle against Atlanta Hawks, and it was right in front of me. I was third row behind Jane Fonda and Ted Turner.
Wow.
And oh yeah.
Pritch.
And he came back in there and played. I mean, Byron Leftwich on a broken leg. They carried him down the field. Remember that?
We are Marshall.
That's right. I mean, sports produces miracles sometimes. I mean, now from a betting standpoint, you can't bet on a miracle, right? I mean, but you thought, you got Patrick, if he throws for over 300 yards in a game, does that get interesting at all? No, not really, because Joe Burrow's right there at 451. But there's no value on that. Why would you bet?
Look, yeah, I mean, the only if you thought that, if you had a lot of conviction on San Francisco, like I do,
uh-huh,
and if you believe that Mahomes can, if there's a way you see Kansas City at least winning the game, then that 9-1 becomes a lot more interesting. But to me, it's not, there's so much speculation there. It's not worth the bet. To me, there's nothing worth betting in this market, if anything. If you like Brock Purdy, which I do, and he's the leader.
He's the leader.
Just go ahead and bet the 49ers to win the game this week. You can find plus 130 on the money line for San Francisco. You're taking a lot of the hypotheticals and what would have to happen in the Super Bowl out of the equation, mm-hmm, by just betting San Francisco to win the game.
Yeah.
That would be my angle on the passing leaders. If you like Purdy, just bet San Francisco. And Burrow is the only, Burrow.
Right.
In the same token, I mean, Bengals are in a position where now that Burrow's down to plus 110 and the Bengals are favored, you, mm-hmm, don't have this opportunity anymore, but you had the Bengals open as a underdog. Same principle would have applied there as Brock Purdy. And keep in mind, Burrow has to make up now 105 passing yards. So I would avoid that one.
Right. Yeah, I would avoid that entire market.
I think we're avoiding that.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, rushing leaders.
No miracles there.
This is interesting because there are more players involved here. Christian, mm-hmm, McCaffrey, the current leader, 154 rushing yards. He is the favorite as well, plus 125. What you have to try and figure out is, was a Joe Mixon 105-yard rushing performance last week, was that an anomaly or
outlier,
sign of things to come? It sounds like he had
one 100-yard game in the season.
That is true.
And then he had another one in the playoffs against Buffalo, who was missing Daquan Jones and certainly Jordan Phillips. So only 19 snaps. I think Chris Jones could make a difference up front, but we'll see. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, even with the calf, I mean, they need him, right, to have a big game. Like, I think the 49ers need Christian McCaffrey to have a big game more so than Brock Purdy to have a big game, right? Miles Sanders, that's too many yards, though.
Especially when there's not only two running backs who get carries for Philadelphia, Sanders and Gainwell both on the list. Sanders plus 550, Gainwell 12-1. But you have the quarterback, right, Jalen Hurts, who can take away.
So really no value again there. I mean,
yeah, I don't see it either. The thing that's funny about Mixon, just the second 100-plus rushing yard game of the year, the most yards per carry before contact in a game for Joe Mixon since 2019. Think about that for a second.
Well,
2.6 yards per carry before contact.
No.
That last time that it happened, that was very early in Mixon's
career. Yeah, I mean, I nicknamed him Pigpen for a reason. Because he literally is 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I mean, he literally is that. But before last week.
Last week was 3 yards and...
snow angels.
Pretty much.
Yeah. No, I don't like that market either.
I'm glad that you don't, because I don't either. There's one market that to me is actually could warrant a bet here. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a lot of different potential scenarios for the playoff receiving leaders. So let's finish the show with that. Ja'Marr Chase, leader in the clubhouse, on the odds board at plus 150, even though he's not the leader right now. 145 receiving yards for Chase. As we go down the list, Deebo Samuel, 178 receiving yards. Currently, he is the statistical leader, is second on the odds board at plus 225. Then Travis Kelce at plus 650. Kelce with his 98 yards on 14 catches last week. George Kittle 10-1 with 132. And then you get some long shots, AJ Brown and Brandon Ayuk each 20-1. What draws your attention, Mr. Wide Receiver?
Well, I mean, we are talking about the Super Bowl too, right?
That's with this market. This is the playoffs, so, receiving leaders, yeah.
So, I mean, Kittle at 10-1?
Oh, that's what I was thinking too.
Right?
Also, should be pointed out, Saturday night, Mike Pritchard and I were together on the Pro Football Blitz, and we're doing our first touchdown bets since we were on live during Giants Eagles. Yeah. And I, as the kind host, I was like, "All right,
okay,
Mike, you have the floor. What does Mike go with? Dallas,
the obvious choice,
Goddard, 12-1." And I was about to pick him, and then I'm like, "I can't pick the same one." Sure enough, Dallas got it. So the fact that you and I are back on the tight end bandwagon, I do like. But Kittle's only 56 yards behind his own teammate, is 10-1. And again, I like San Francisco to win the game this week. You're telling me that Kittle can't make up a 56-yard difference between he and Deebo Samuel over the next 2 weeks?
He absolutely
weeks?
Can. I mean,
does that happen one out of every 10 times?
Yeah,
I think it does.
Kittle is making people miss at the line of scrimmage, getting off with his releases. I mean, he's a lot of people think about him, you know, as a weapon in terms of the play action stuff, which he is. But if they need him to go out wide and be a wide receiver, he can do that, you know. And certainly he's an excellent blocker too. So he's not going to come off the field. I think Brock Purdy has a great relationship with him too. And if we're talking about a miracle story with Brock Purdy, and then okay, they win the game and go on to the Super Bowl, Kittle will be featured in the passing game.
It's a 10-1. It certainly would. You can these are the sort of bets you want to be able to draw a logical path towards. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, well, you're just better off betting the team either to win this week or to win the Super Bowl. I mean, with Ja'Marr Chase at plus 150, if you're that high in Cincinnati, just bet Cincinnati to win the Super Bowl. You can do most of the odds right now. It's incredibly bunched right now, the Super Bowl futures. All four teams are in the plus 260 and greater range. We'll flash it up on the screen right now via VSiN.com for those of you watching on VSiN.com or YouTube TV. I mean, Eagles are technically the short shot at plus 245. Mm-hmm. Chiefs are 265. Bengals, the same exact odds number. I would expect that to come down a little bit, considering now that the Bengals are 2.5, or they touched 3 earlier in the show, favored over Kansas City, and then the Niners plus 330. So for any of these, if the odds on those Super Bowl winners are longer, unless you think there's a player that has some outstanding, insane individual performance, you're probably just better off betting the team.
Right.
But the Kittle is the one that does stand out to me, 10-1 to lead the playoffs in receiving yards.
Is the fact that he's a rookie quarterback and no rookie quarterback has started a Super Bowl, is that up against Brock Purdy with the miracle story that we've witnessed?
I think you can make
plus 330 for the money line here.
You can make that narrative if you want, but it's like this is a guy in Kyle Shanahan who is he's schemed that offense so expertly. And the last 5 years now, San Francisco has led the league in the most in-breaking routes that they scheme up. Brock Purdy this year on in-breaking routes, number one in pass EPA on in-breaking routes this year. Mm-hmm. So he's a system quarterback, but he's also done really well in that system. And so to me, that's just I don't really buy that narrative.
Yeah.
Sure, they could do it. I think San Francisco is the most complete team. Just because they have a rookie quarterback,
back-to-back NFC Conference Championship game with that roster.
I'll be interested to see when we reconvene, Mike Pritchard and I, Saturday on the Pro Football Blitz, where that Cincinnati-Kansas City line is at.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very good question to see. Rich, as always, pleasure hanging
with you.
Two hours just flew by for us. It is VSiN Big Bets. We'll turn it on over to Dave Ross and Amal Shaw coming your way next here on VSiN.